Greetings, and welcome to Bear Soup. News, skews, interviews, and schmooze for the online Ursine community. I'm your host, Ron Suresha. We have a Bustin' Out the Guts show for you this week, so listen up, bears. In this 74th installment of Bear Soup, a poem by Peter Orlovsky, beat poet and partner to Allen Ginsberg. My introduction from Hair, the pictorial book of hairy men in gay art. And the second part of Does D Mean Four Ways? A story from 100% Beef Mag. We're locked and loaded, so stand back. You're just in time for Bear Soup. Welcome to Bear Soup. News, skews, interviews, and schmooze for the online Ursine community. This is Ron Suresha, casting my pod to you through the mysterious tubes of the interweb from southeastern coastal Connecticut, USA. Presumably, you can tell without seeing me that I am recording this stark naked in a steamy outdoor hot tub. Well, that's what the rubber duckies are for. Clothing optional. Bear Soup is sponsored by the Bookish Bears at Bare Bones Books.
Smarter than the average bear?
Check out their fine titles by Bear Authors at barebonesbooks.com, spelled BEARBONESBOOKS. First up, a poem by Peter Orlovsky, a bearish writer, probably best known as a longtime muse, inspiration, and the companion of beat poet Allen Ginsberg. I had contact with Peter Orlovsky when I was working in Boston at a publisher and was helping with permissions for a compilation of beat poetry. Peter passed away on May 30th of this year from lung cancer. He was 76. So I would like to read one of his poems from Straight Heart's Delight, Love Poems and Selected Letters, the book that he wrote with Allen Ginsberg, which was edited by Winston Leyland of Gay Sunshine Press. This poem, although it's kind of in a script form, is called Peter Jerking Allen Off, First Sex Experiment. Allen, I feel horny. You better close the windows and the door, otherwise it will be chilly, and put on a robe. How are you going to jerk me off and do that typing at the same time, or lay next to my body? Peter, that's a problem. We did it once already. We have all the time in the world. No rush. I'll use my right hand, fist, and type with left hand as best I can, okay? Allen, uh-huh. Allen gives sighs of pleasure. That's not if you can keep that up. Peter, I continue jerking him off. His cock has a slight bend, as if a little warped. Got that way when Allen was fucking a spade chick. The girl moved her box just when Allen was going to come so that his cock came out of her cunt and rammed up against some bone above or below her cunt. When it happened, it wasn't too painful because I am jerking him off all the time. He puts his hand to mine to make it go faster and puts his other hand into under my robe, lays that hand atop my cock, lifts his legs like woman getting screwed and spreads them, takes the ashtray from little table next to bed with my cig, drags a puff, puts it out fast. It was Allen. Keep going, Petey. Don't break the rhythm. Peter. He will be coming soon. He lifts his legs, lifts his body off bed, ass behind part. I keep jerking him off and try to go faster, with rhythm, sexy, hotter that way. Allen. Ouch. Peter. Am I hurting you? Allen. Yeah, doing it so regularly. Hold my balls. Peter. He goes to grab my left hand, wants me to hold his balls. So I do. Allen. I keep getting hot, then all of a sudden it stops. It's also irregular. Peter. I go to stick my finger in his asshole, figuring that this will get him hot. On the tip of his cock, the lips start to usher up a little dew drops of pre-expecting joy that seem about to come. I took my left hand now to jerk him off, and with right hand fingered his asshole. The dew started to get dewier.
the cock harder. He raised his legs higher into the air as I started to go faster with my hand over his cock now, figuring if he didn't come now, he might not come because his cock might be getting sore by all this irregular jerking on his cock. Starting to come, the cum comes and flies out between wet lips like silver dragonflies and lands on white sheet. Some cum falls on his cock and some on my knuckles. As he's coming, I say, "Atta boy!" And he says in response to that, a few seconds later, "That's great," and hugs me with both arms and gives Manny a sigh. All over and wiped up cum. It took 5.4 a.m. to 6:10 a.m. calendar to keep track of how many cigs I smoke in a day, and just before putting my hand to Alan's cock, I lit a cig and noted it and time when took. End of jerk-off section. And the poem is signed Tangiers, 1961. Peter Jerking Alan Off.
A poem by Peter Orlovsky.
And now we continue with the second part of the story, Does D Mean Four Ways?, written by Stuart Oakwood and published in 100% Beef magazine. Definitely not safe for work. And there is a note to our squeamish listeners. This advisory says, this story will contain adultery, bisexuality, tits and pussy, heterosexual rimming, swinging, but it's really hot. The story admittedly does have a slow start, but I assure you that it will become much more interesting and of bearish content as the piece goes on, so enjoy. When we left the story, our narrator was fantasizing about getting it on with Sally, who had advertised for a pool boy, and the narrator is now standing with Sally's husband, Jim, who says,
"Can I get you a pop?"
"Huh?"
"Can I get you a pop?"
Jim asked me again.
"We're all done with the keys and stuff. Let's have a pop before I have to shove off."
Sure. Do you have grape?"
I had a good feeling about that job.
That night, when I went home, I dreamed of forearms and wet pussy lips until the moon was high. The crickets were singing, and I was exhausted. Next door, the neighbor's dog let out a soft bark. I might have been a little naive about Jim and Sally. I just saw it as an easy summer job that left me a lot of time to kick around and stuff, but there turned out to be a lot more going on in those pretty heads than balance sheets and sales figures. My awakening to new adventures was quick and not at all unwelcome. The first week had gone okay, and I got paid and went out on the town. I started the second week on Monday morning at 9 o'clock, only slightly hungover from the weekend. I walked in through the back gate as I had the week before and went about my job. The sun was warm and felt good, so I took off my shirt and started in, cleaning the pool and checking the water. They'd probably had company over the weekend because there were plates and napkins left out on the patio area. I stacked things up and carried them into the kitchen. As I turned the corner, I had quite a start. There was Sally. She jumped a little.
"Oh, Mitch, you startled me. I forgot you'd be here."
She flushed a little. I could almost see through her tank top. Maybe it was embarrassment and surprise, but the perky, erect nipples made me wonder if something wasn't up.
"Whew, sorry. You sure took a start out of me. I was just cleaning up the pool area."
Okay, she said nervously.
"Just put the dishes in the sink for now."
We stared at each other in immobile silence as we calmed our breath, neither one of us wanting to talk about household chores, and neither one of us sure how to get the other's clothes onto the floor.
I could feel my dick rubbing against my jeans, and while one part of me wanted to wish that I had worn underwear, another part of me was happy that I hadn't. "I didn't know you'd be home," I said, putting the dishes in the sink. "I wouldn't have," I said, looking apologetically at my shirtless body.
"Oh, that's okay. I was just taking the morning off. It was a busy weekend."
Her eyes did a quick scan of my body and paused long enough to let me know that she saw my jeans pointing at her.
"Your chest is so smooth," she said with a squealy giggle that I'd heard a few times before. "So well made."
She flashed her eyebrows to make a joke, but she also licked her lips just a little. She took a step closer.
"Do you mind if I touch it?"
I wanted to be cool, but my head was spinning, thinking about the piercing stare Jim had given me the week before. I was horny enough to take a risk just to see what Sally would be like. My heart was racing, and I think I gasped out something like, "Go ahead," before I felt her hand run over my chest, down my belly, and into my pants. How we got to the bedroom isn't something I can remember. I just remember the feel of those beautiful tits pressing to my chest and her back arcing into me. I mentioned that she was petite and perky, but I did not mention that she had beautiful round breasts like peaches or some other nippled fruit. We rolled around the bed, and I covered those nipples with licks and bites and sucks and moved my hand down into her pussy. It was perfect and as soft and wet as I had dreamed it would be. She had a sweet smell, and she opened into a soft groan when I put my lips to it. Oh, what a beautiful feeling to have those folds of skin, all those nooks and crannies that shiver and whimper when you run your tongue over them. Her fingers grabbed my head and pressed my face into her. She started humping my face a little while I played on her clit and panted like an animal. I was about ready to make a lunge for the main event when I learned in no uncertain terms that Sally really was the kind of woman who takes these things into her own hands. Not sure how she did it. Maybe she had been on the wrestling team or something. But the whole scene suddenly changed, and I found my face buried in the mat with my ass in the air and her nails scraping down my butt. Now, I have to say that the first time you get a rim job, especially one that you're not expecting to get, your body goes through quite a set of tops and twists before it settles into enjoying itself. I'd never had anything like this done to me. So there I was, squirming and squealing like a pile of puppy dogs. I'd never even had so much as a finger up there before, let alone this hot, wet tongue swirling around and poking everywhere. Woo-wee! Sally took to it like white on rice. Her tongue went right for the delicate edges of my hole while her nails dug firmly into my buns. My whole body shuddered like it was being tickled down to the core, but then relaxed into it, and rode the waves of pleasure running up my spine and into my pillow-covered head. I have no memory of where my mind went, or how long I was there. I only remember at one point thinking that if this is what the aliens did to you when they abducted you, my next stop was going to be Roswell. I think I could have stayed that way forever, with Sally licking my ass and her sensible, lacquered nails gently scraping up and down my ass and balls. But it came to an end when she flipped me over again and climbed on board. I was hard as rock. She slapped herself over my meat and started riding like the electric bull scene in an urban cowboy movie. Oh, cowgirl with the peach-tipped breasts. I won't ever forget how happy we were the first time you rode me like a rodeo machine in a sleazy Oklahoma roadhouse. Sally gasped when she was excited. Not groans like a wildcat, but gasps. Like a woman who was surprised that anything could feel so good. Those were the noises she made as she stopped humping and looked down at me from her saddle. I could feel her muscles working my dick, angling herself to hit spots she liked feeling. Her gasps and a hot breath rushed over me from above. We pulled apart for a minute, and she rolled onto her back, maneuvering me to kneel between her legs, my hands on her knees, my hard on just barely touching her lips. She gave me a nod. She let out a gasp as I slammed inside. I fell on top of her squirming body, our heads close to the edge of the big king bed. Her hands raked down my back and over the top of my butt, a gentle scratch that made my skin tingle. She squeezed my dick as I started pumping her. She was amazing in this regard. When I licked her nipples, I felt her hot breath cascade into the air. It wasn't long before I felt that rush of blood and hormones that told me I was about to come, I fought it off and reared up. I felt her hot contractions around my meat, and something primitive made me want to be as deep inside her as I could be. I shoved in as far as I could, rocking fast and deep. I felt something fleshy press into the head of my dick and then retract as her muscles tightened and pulled. My breath exploded into a soft, humid gasp, and my balls shot a big load of cum. My dick was still twitching when I opened my eyes. There was Jim, looking right at me. My heart raced with terror and struggled with my dick for blood and oxygen. I jumped to flee, but those big hands on the ends of big forearms reached out and grabbed me by the throat, tight enough to choke me. I was so scared, and my dick was so hard. I was afraid I was going to die that I nearly came again. Sally let out a shriek and pulled away. My eyes looked for any rescue, any way out, but couldn't see any escape. I knew I was done for. I tried to speak, but my throat was stuck, and I had a threatening pair of hands around it. He could have snapped my neck. I struggled for breath against his hands and against the terror.
Listen, kid, I have a rule. You fuck the hole, you suck the pole. Understand?
I didn't. I only felt the strong hands holding me tight, not choking anymore, but holding. He pulled my head to his chest and dropped one hand to grab my balls. He held me like that, and his stern, clear voice filled my ear.
If you want to walk out of here alive, you're going to swallow my load.
I was so relieved that I almost broke into laughter. It looked like I wasn't going to die after all. I shook with relief and surprise. His forearms felt good under my fingers. When he let go of me, he said,
"Don't you move a fucking inch."
And I sure didn't dare to. He pulled off his shirt and dropped his pants. 3 minutes later, my smiling, tear-stained face was swallowing a healthy load of hot, salty Jim. This had to be one of the best worker incentive programs ever imagined. I got paid well every Friday for the chores that I had to do. I got fresh pussy one day and hard dick the next, and I was never, ever late to work. On Mondays, I would come in and do my job. Sally would be working from home in the morning, making calls and calling into meetings at her company. She'd break at about 11:30 and we'd screw like weasels. At 32 years old, she was still a fox, and her innocent church girl cheerleader looks almost did not match the way she was in bed. I suppose I don't need to know why she liked eating my ass, and I never asked. Why ruin a good thing? It's kind of unexpected to have her take control that way, but fascinating, too. Every time with her opened up something new about sexual power and about surrendering to it. I could never put my finger on it, but there was something about letting someone with a plan lead the way, even if the plan was a little weird. But letting go of control, I learned, didn't mean submitting. It meant becoming a sexual adventurer, going to places I never knew I could enjoy, and feeling thrills that roller coasters just did not have. On Wednesdays, the routine was Jim's, so it was pretty rigorous. Jim had a workout room up a short flight of stairs. At 12:30 precisely, I would stop my chores, take a shower, and go to his exercise room to kneel down and wait for him, completely naked. The room was lit only by the pale light that came through the dark curtains. Nobody was ever home on Wednesdays until Jim got back from his run. I'd hear the door open and the half-whistle panting of someone who was coming off a runner's high. A few footsteps on the stairs were followed by the thwap of a sweaty T-shirt hitting my head. In no time after that, Jim would be standing in front of me with his beautiful heart on, silently demanding attention. I wasn't allowed to talk. He would talk to me, though, and I could touch him. Jim liked the way my mouth felt on his dick, and he'd tell me about it while I slapped my lips on it and swirled my tongue around. His chest and hard belly would rise and fall. The sweat would shine like rivulets through the hair on his dick and balls. His hand would cut my head so that I couldn't pull away, and every now and then he'd call me a cocksucker. I never really found a way to tell him that this really wasn't humiliating at all. I mean, he was hot, you know? Okay, so the staging and the restraint and the on-demand face-fucking were a strange turn-on, but really, I think I would have been happy to do it for him anyway. A couple of times while I was kneeling in that room and waiting for my buddy to show up and make me his cocksucker, I pretty much decided that this whole thing had been a setup from the start, and that Jim just needed to stage an infidelity scene so that he could have a good excuse to make another guy suck him off. And Sally just needed a girlfriend, but Jim wasn't interested enough to go for that kind of a three-way, and really, that was okay with me. I was having more sex than a rabbit, and if they both needed the pool boy infidelity scene to feel comfortable with their own pleasure, I certainly wasn't going to argue with them. Of course, I never said that. I mean, I might be horny, but I'm not stupid. Aside from the awesome sex, it was good money for cleaning a pool. All that summer, I happily slurped away on his cock, and he'd pushed the limits of my endurance. He groaned at everything I did, and I was always impressed that he could keep his balance while I worked his meat with my throat and tongue. I got used to the feel of his hard flesh, the pressure of his cockhead as it probed the back of my throat, and the melting feeling that washed over my body when the bottom of his dick throbbed and pumped against my lower lip. It was just great. He'd wipe my face and his dick with his t-shirt, and then take off to jog back to work, leaving me and my hungry body to my own devices. It was especially hot when he left the earphones in and grooved to REO Speedwagon while he pumped my face, like I was just a pit stop where he got his oil changed. A few weeks into our routine, there came an unexpected surprise. I was kneeling in the exercise room when I heard the familiar opening of the front door and the panting. The steps on the staircase sounded a little faster and more irregular than before. The familiar thwap of his sweaty t-shirt, and right after that, another thwap. My heartbeat quickened and all my muscles tensed. I had never been so close to coming spontaneously in my whole life. There was so much stomping in the room, it sounded like a stable of horses. The second shirt covered my eyes completely, so I could not even see the feet shuffling into position before me. I heard Jim's voice ask,
"What do you think?" "Beautiful. Really nice body." The other voice was deep and clear. "Do you want to see his face?" "Sure."
A hand pulled the musky shirts off my head. Right there in front of me was Jim, standing at attention as usual, the sweat glistening down his body. Right next to him was a dark-skinned man, more muscular, hairier, stronger, and hanging a huge uncut package just inches from my face. I gasped. His dick was beautiful. I'd never seen anything so perfect.
"Mitch, this is Luis. You're going to be sucking both of us off today. Want to get started, buddy?"
A strong hand guided me towards the uncut beauty that protruded from Luis. In awed and grateful silence, I put Luis's hanging dick into my mouth and swirled the foreskin. How close this was to eating pussy! How delicious and different! I gulped the stretchy skin into the back of my throat. He was huge. Limp, he filled my mouth all the way to the back of my throat. I made as if to swallow, and my throat muscles tugged at his foreskin. This feeling was as pleasing as it was short-lived. My throat sucking at the hood of a sexy man, my nose buried in his sweaty hair, my body aching with the thrill. I even got a little scared as it grew, the swelling head pulling the skin out of my buckling throat and filling me with its enormous plug. I mean, Jim had a good dick, but Luis was in a class all to himself. Fully erect, finally, Luis pushed deep into the back of my throat. I choked a little. I thrilled the rush that swept my body. Close to gagging, I pulled my mouth off Luis to catch some air. The slap that hit my face startled the hell out of me, and I lurched a little to get up. A big hand came down on my head hard and forced me back to my knees.
"Come on," Luis said, coaxing it out of me after letting me know he was boss when his dick was in my mouth.
I looked up at his hairy pecs and abs. My hands rested on his meaty thighs.
"I ain't stopping, so you'd better get used to it."
I hesitated.
"Come on, cocksucker."
His voice was gentle and seductive, and I was surprised by how easily he made me feel like he was sweet-talking me with an invitation to wrap it around his dick.
"Don't be like that, pretty boy. I know you."
My resistance melted, and a wave of accepting, electric sexual energy started flowing through me. I smiled and followed my tongue back to where I wanted to be. I decided then and there that I liked being called cocksucker. It was almost a title like drinking buddy, a word you use for someone who's your best friend. I don't know if it was some mysterious transfer of hormones or what, but Luis made it happen for me. In the transition from the rush of almost choking to the rush of the stinging slap, to the rush of opening my throat and bonding for Louise, I knew that my body had emerged into a new way of being.
And that was the second part of the story, Does D Mean Four Ways? By Stuart Oakwood, published in 100% Beef magazine. The conclusion of the story, as well as a letter to the editor of Beef Mag, will be in the next edition of Bear Soup. I am totally delighted to share with you my introduction from a new book by German publisher Bruno Gemünder entitled Hair, Hairy Men in Gay Art. It's a pictorial book, but there are two introductions, and I was asked to contribute the first one. On the front page of my introduction is a triptych, a set of three photographs by Chris Kometer, and the three photographs are of Jack Radcliffe. They happen to be the three pictures that are used on the covers of the new Bare Bones editions of Bearotica and Bearlust, and the brand new anthology in that series, Bears in the Wild. My introduction goes like this. Hair makes the man. Hair, or its apparent lack, is the typical way in which we discern men from women, male from female, masculine from feminine, maturity from immaturity. A hair is an adherent externality, a thin, pointy shadow grown outside the flesh. The darkness it creates is continuously attached to us, always close to the surface of the skin. Hair insulates, protects, warms, and conceals us in our nakedness. When you look at it microscopically, hair is phallic, a fact often overlooked, even as we know a man is most excited, whether from fear or lust, when his hair stands on end. What causes this horripilation is the hormone that not only spurs hair growth but also produces male pattern baldness. Testosterone, produced in the testes, is said to have only two functions, fuck it or kill it. This volume of ballsy, brilliant illustrations focuses on the first imperative. Several of the Robert Mapplethorpe BDSM photographs feature the male model's body and facial hair as part of the stunning visual composition of the photos. Before him, we had never really seen hair so lovingly rendered on the human form. Chris Nelson, first lensman for Bear magazine, developed the aesthetic and made the naked hairy homo his primary photographic object of affection. When male hair is celebrated in art, it expresses the artist's sense of masculinity and celebrates the viewer's love of mature men. To love hair is human, to forgive is divine. Hair is wearable manhood. No two men's facial or body hair patterns are exactly alike. Each is a unique male dermal landscape, a sacred wilderness particular to each man. These illustrations show us the forest through the trees. Let us delight in this revealing collection of hot, hirsute men. We are about to enter the Place des Poilus, place of the hairy ones. It is where we belong. And that was my introduction from Hair, the pictorial book of hairy men in gay art that is just out from Bruno Gemünder, edited by my friend Stefan Niederreiser from Germany. If you are interested in taking a look at the book, please check out the Bear Soup blog on my website. I'm very pleased to announce several literary events that are open to the public that are being sponsored by the Bear Soup Podcast on BearRadio.net and Bare Bones Books, happening during Summer Bear Week in beautiful Provincetown, Massachusetts. First, a reading and reception with Jeff Mann, the Lammy-winning Bear author of
A History of Barbed Wire and Edge Travels of an Appalachian Leather Bear. That's being held Friday, July 16th, noon at the Unitarian Universalist Meeting House on Commercial Street in P-Town. And the following day, there will be a Bears in the Wild reading, a bear book launch for the new anthology, Bears in the Wild, Hot and Hairy Fiction, with contributor Jeff Mann and editor R. Jackson. That's Saturday, July 17th at 11 o'clock a.m., held at Toys of Eros, also on Commercial Street. Both events are hosted by the Northeast Ursa Men, Barebones Books, Toys of Eros, and BearRadio.net. We'll be sure to carry some of the audio from those events here on Bear Soup. So come on down and get yourself some bear culture. You've been listening to Bear Soup with Ron Serratia, episode number 74. Check out the Bear Soup page on my homely little home blog, www.ronsurresha.com, spelled R-O-N-S-U-R-E-S-H-A. Bubbles for the Bear Soup hot tub are powered by our sponsor, Barebones Books. Look for Bear Soup and Barebones Books also on Facebook, and please feel free to email me at bearsoup@gmail.com. Thanks again to the Merman, Joe of BearRadio.net, and as always, my husband, Rocco. Thanks so much for listening. Finally, always remember, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.